Memorial Stadium.
Since 1962.
Since 1962.
A sellout crowd.
A sellout crowd.
All sold out.
Hey, we sold out.
But we still saved you a seat.
The Sellout with Mitch Sherman and Max Olson.
Hello and welcome into the Sellouts. I'm Mitch Sherman, coming to you live from my basement. Max Olson, behind the power of his fancy new gig internet speed, joins me. I am unspeakably jealous of you right now, Max.
We're rolling with some aloe now.
I like it. I like it a lot. Someday, maybe it will come to Sarpy County in the Omaha area. So, shout out to Fred Hoiberg here to start. Nebraska basketball for a nice win Tuesday night against Iowa. Nebraska fans avoid another year of just getting completely owned by the Hawkeyes in the two most high-profile sports on the Big Ten stage. I know that will make everyone around Nebraska feel much better about what happened on Black Friday as we get ready to endure this long off season ahead. Did you catch any of the game last night?
I didn't catch a whole lot of that. I was playing catch up on The Bachelor. Did you catch any Bachelor this week?
No, I'm not into that. But I was watching some hoops, and I tried to watch the what was the bowl game the other night? There was a really bad bowl game on the other night. Miami of Ohio against Louisiana.
The Raging Cajuns. Yeah,
yeah. That's right. I mean, credit to the Cajuns, but that bowl kept my interest for about one third of the first quarter. So I'm ready for next Monday night, I guess. So today,
A quality win for Nebraska basketball, though. You were right about that.
It was. Huskers are 2-2 in the Big Ten, ahead of, I believe, like a long list of teams that include Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Iowa. So who saw that coming? But we're going to talk about football. We're going to get into some recent news at Nebraska, an official separation from Maurice Washington, a coaching hire ahead for Scott Frost after the departure of an assistant. We will review recent road trips that you and I completed and make predictions on that aforementioned national championship game. So let's start with Frost. Happy birthday, by the way, to the coach who turned 45 this week. He is moving into some kind of a new demographic, I suppose. So in 4 years as a head coach, I would argue that Scott Frost has not been forced to make a lot of hard decisions, other than obviously that choice to leave UCF for Nebraska 2 years ago. He has not fired any coaches. He hasn't had to dismiss a high-profile player in a high-profile place. As you know, that is not the long-term reality for guys in his position. He is getting paid $5 million a year, yes, to win and represent Nebraska football, but also to make the kind of hard decisions that regularly arrive on the desk of high-profile head coaches. And he had to make one this month on Maurice Washington, the troubled running back who had been suspended, for lack of a better way to describe it, since October and is now in the transfer portal after the Huskers dismissed him from the program. Max, your thoughts on Nebraska officially moving on from Maurice Washington?
Yeah, I think this is the call that Scott Frost and his staff had to make. I think, quite frankly, I would have been disappointed if they'd gone the other way on this one. You know, not to say that it's an easy decision, because I understand from his point of view, you know, they are invested in Maurice Washington. They want to help guide him in the right direction. They made promises to his family in the recruiting process that they're going to take care of him and do everything they could to, you know, turn him into a productive young man. But, you know, they gave him a lot of chances. And, you know, I just think there were just too many issues, too many red flags, still the unresolved legal case. And, you know, quite frankly, he quit on this 2019 Nebraska team. He did. Yeah. He quit in the middle of the season. And I just think that, you know, inserting him back into winter conditioning and saying, oh, he's going to earn his way up and, you know, he's on thin ice and all that kind of stuff, I just think that would have been detrimental to the culture and the standards they're trying to establish there if one guy is kind of you know, immune to the rules. So I think it's a move that made a lot of sense, and I think any other decision would have been really I don't know, really questionable. How do you feel coming out of, I think you anticipated that they'd go the other way on this. So how did you feel?
I did in my New Year's Eve predictions, my 10 predictions for 2020, I offered a prediction that Nebraska would give him another chance, that not necessarily that he would play or even go through spring practice, but that he would be offered an opportunity to earn his way back through winter conditioning. And that was wrong. I was 0-for-1 in the first week of the new year. But then I went 1-for-2 on the Javon DeWitt departure, which we will get to here in a few minutes. From that standpoint, we'll say, yeah, I was a little bit surprised, but I'm with you in believing that it was the right thing for Nebraska and what Nebraska had to do, what Scott Frost had to do to avoid setting a double standard in this program. I think if Maurice Washington had been given another shot after the way things went for him in the month of October, when essentially, I think people remember this, but he was injured and did not have the attitude that Nebraska wanted on the sideline. I think he was disgruntled with some of his opportunities as the season progressed deeper into Big Ten play. And it just got kind of ugly with Maurice at the end, culminating in that Minnesota game where he was essentially told to take a hike as Nebraska got into its first bye week of the season. That's hard to get past, I think, if you're Scott Frost or you are Maurice Washington's teammates, to look at that and see what happened and remember that if he's back within the locker room as a part of the team. I think that would be difficult to reconcile. Yeah, you trust your coach and his decisions, but that was an ugly situation there. I think a lot of people nationally looked at what happened when the announcement came out last week about Washington that he was gone and said, okay, it's about time, but Nebraska did the right thing. And there was a lot of a belief that this all goes back to the court case in California. And that's an easy way to look at it, but I don't think it's the most accurate way to look at it. This had a lot more to do, in my opinion, with the way things went for him within the program in 2019 than it did.
And after they, quite frankly, stuck their neck out for him and letting him play when they didn't need to.
Yeah. It would have been the easy thing for Nebraska a year ago at this time to say, go away and, you know, you made a mistake before you ever came into our program that we didn't know about, and we don't want to be associated with that. And that's not what Nebraska did. And I think that made it sting a little bit more for Scott Frost, or a lot more for Scott Frost, when Maurice went awry during his sophomore season because of the way that Nebraska, as you said, stuck its neck out for him last season. So he's gone. He will likely surface somewhere on the college football map.
He is in the portal.
As of Monday, he's in the transfer portal, or Tuesday, I believe he was entered into the transfer portal.
And if I can just add something on this, I'm sure that Scott Frost and his coaches are disappointed that this is the outcome. I have no doubt that they believe that they're the kind of folks who can take chances on guys that need structure, that need that need good coaching and a good organization to kind of get right. And I have no doubt that they in the past they've taken on those projects at UCF and other schools and it's worked. And I'm sure they believe that they could make this one right by giving him the right structure. And so I'm sure that they're, I'm sure that they hate that it ended like this, but I think it would have been alarming if they had decided to bring him back in the sense that I think that would have told you that things were so dire from a talent standpoint in Nebraska that they needed to find a way to get him back in the program because they just couldn't find a way to replace him. And I just don't think, what kind of statement would that have sent if they said, Maurice is one of their most talented players. Bottom line, they got to find a way to get him in. I know that Scott Frost leans on how Tom Osborne might have handled these things, and there's definitely wisdom in some of that thinking. But I just think in this case, they did the right thing, and any other decision, would have exposed them to even more problems.
Yeah, that would have been the message sent. I don't know that that would have been the actual way that Nebraska saw it, that they were keeping him around for his talent. But that definitely would have been the message sent in the way that people viewed this thing on the outside of the program. So hard decision for sure, and Scott Frost made the decision that he probably needed to make in this moment. Another potential minefield for Frost as he moves forward and matures as a head coach is always going to involve his coaching staff, how he handles coaches who have opportunities to move on, as we saw a year ago with Mike Dawson, the defensive line coach who left for the New York Giants, what to do in an area of the staff when production has not met expectations. So that leads us to Javon DeWitt, Nebraska's outside linebackers coach, special teams coordinator for the past two seasons, is off to North Carolina to work for Mack Brown, coach the same positions there. Frost did not stand in his way in this departure, and I would say that both parties are better off here because of what happened this week. DeWitt, as we know, has endured a extremely difficult year off the field, going through cancer treatment. He was diagnosed with cancer just a year ago, throat cancer a year ago, in the latter part of the 2019 recruiting period, went through treatment. It was a life-threatening situation, and he was able to return and come back to the team in the summer. Really, I would say it hampered his ability in many ways to be able to do his job. First and foremost, when Nebraska practiced outside in the month of November, Javon DeWitt was not able to be himself in the cold weather. He still has effects from the chemotherapy that he received, and it was very painful for him to be outside in that weather. In the Big Ten, you know, that's going to happen not just during the week. It's going to happen in games. I don't imagine it was easy for him to be there at Minnesota, though he can coach from the booth. He can't coach from the booth in practice. So there are several reasons here why this has an opportunity to be good for both Javon DeWitt and Nebraska, but it's another spot for Scott Frost, like the Maurice Washington situation, where there isn't an easy way out and he's got to make a hard decision. The decision here was to facilitate a move for an assistant coach, and it looks to have turned out well. What are your thoughts on Nebraska making this move, or DeWitt making this move?
Yeah, first of all, for DeWitt, I think it's a no-brainer in what he's deciding to do here, because as we talked about the other day off air, like for the circumstances that he's dealing with, to move into that part of the country and that medical triangle there with all the med schools they have in that part of the country around Chapel Hill, that makes a ton of sense for him, right? I think that's probably the best thing for his full recovery and to ensure that he has a long life ahead here. So smart move on his part. Certainly makes sense to link up with Mack Brown and their staff. That program is, coming out of their first year, pointing in the right direction. So a great opportunity for Javon DeWitt. And one that, look, I mean, you know, what are we supposed to do here? Are we supposed to criticize his coaching performance in the season? It's hard to do, and in some ways, you can't really pin a rash of injuries at kicker on a coach, right? Like there was some bad luck that contributed to this, but there's no doubt that this is one area where we probably all underestimated going into the season that Nebraska could have some real issues just because they had guys returning at punter and place kicker. I think after a season like that, when you can easily say, you know, a couple things go different on that end, then and Nebraska wins seven games or maybe even more. I think you have to, you know, directly address that that area of special teams, and certainly it's a kind of a difficult, sensitive thing to have to address here. But it seems like a win for all parties.
A bit of lightheartedness in this. The announcement, it hasn't been officially announced by Nebraska, and I don't know that Nebraska will say anything officially until it has a replacement, but it was announced by North Carolina on Monday morning with a video that the Tar Heels football account posted of Mac Brown welcoming Javon DeWitt into his office, and they walked to the back wall where Mac showed DeWitt some photos. They were out of focus. She couldn't see what it was. And I did appreciate a comment that I saw on Twitter that Mac was saying that this is the photo here where I strong armed the official into putting one more second on the clock. So I'm sure that stung a bit for some Nebraska fans to see Javon DeWitt with Mac Brown in his office there. But this is North Carolina Mac, and it's really, you know, it's hard for at least for me to dislike Mac Brown because he's such a nice guy. But
I'll tell you what, Mac Brown. Anytime I covered him throughout his tenure at Texas and have visited him since, and anytime it's brought up to him that I'm living in Nebraska, he says Nebraska fans are his favorite fans in all of college football. They're just the best. He always brings up the time when Ricky Williams came to Lincoln and lit up the Huskers and walked off the field to Heisman chants from the Husker crowd. He always just remembered how special that was. So Mac Brown is a big Husker fan.
Someday we'll do a whole podcast on what could have been with Mac Brown in Nebraska back in 1997 and 98. But that's not necessarily what we want to dive into today. So what we do want to get into as Nebraska moves forward and has an opportunity to hire another coach, should the Huskers hire a dedicated special teams coordinator? Did DeWitt coach special teams, also coached outside linebackers? Nebraska's defensive coordinator, Eric Chenander, is a walk-around coordinator. This is not really a common thing in the Big Ten for coordinators to go without coaching a position. In fact, in the Big Ten West, I found that 5 of the 7 teams have dedicated special teams coordinators, which in just about every case is going to lead to their offensive and defensive coordinators coaching a position, like Nebraska does with Troy Walters on the offensive side. He coaches receivers. I think it was important for Chenander when he took this job. It was something that was talked about for him not to have the burden of coaching a position. So should Nebraska look at having Eric Chenander coach a position, or is it more important to let him be a walk-around coordinator and add the responsibility to your special teams coordinator, as Nebraska has done the past 2 years, to coach outside linebackers or another spot? I think it's an interesting discussion, and you know, it really brings to light the importance of special teams, especially in the Big Ten West, where the margin is so slim between, well, I mean, let's just say first and last place, which was Northwestern in 2018 and 2019. And not to say that that was all about special teams, but special teams is definitely a way, as you saw in the Iowa game, where you can have a 3-point game that is largely decided on special teams. So how important is special teams to Nebraska, and should it have a special teams coordinator? What do you think, Max?
Well, I mean, you tell me, like, is it really asking that much for Barrett Rood to coach all the linebackers?
I don't know. I think in a 3-4 scheme, the inside linebackers and the outside linebackers are different enough. And I say that in light of a conversation that I had last week with Blaze Gunnarsson at the All-American Bowl. He's an outside linebacker who signed with Nebraska, starts school in Lincoln on Monday. They do different things with their outside linebackers. And I would say Blaze Gunnarsson may end up working as much with Tony Tuioti as he will with his position coach, whether that's Barrett Rood or Eric Chenander or somebody else, because of the kind of outside linebacker that he is. So there would have to be a lot of, I would say, a lot of good chemistry on the staff in order for Barrett Rood to work with all 4 of those positions. That's 4 out of 11 guys on the defense. Now, I mean, you can look at the offense and say Greg Austin works with 5 out of 11 guys on the offense, but there may be more cohesiveness between the offensive tackles and offensive guards and centers than what Nebraska has in this defense between the inside and outside linebackers. Linebackers are so important at Nebraska in this defensive scheme that I don't think it's a bad thing at all to have 2 assistant coaches working with those guys.
Well, that's fair. So I could see a situation where it makes sense for Chenander to get involved with the linebackers, but I think to come back to your main question, I think a dedicated special teams coordinator is probably no brainer. I mean, we're talking about special teams unit here that I think, according to, you know, ESPN kind of tracks these efficiencies for every team, offense, defense, and special teams, and Nebraska Where would you guess their special teams ranked among the 130 in 2019?
Oh, I'd say it's triple digits. I'd put it maybe 110 to 115.
Yeah, 119 in the country in special teams efficiency. Right.
That's not good.
And we know that's not just kicking game, right? We know that that's also the kickoff returns for touchdowns, and certainly they weren't, you know, they weren't elite at the punting game either. So yeah, I think you need to bring somebody in to, you know, to really repair and get them back to average and above average at that level. And it's special teams, so that's not like an impossible ask, right? You can change. You can improve your special teams pretty rapidly if you plug the right guys in there and they embrace it. But yeah, I think it makes sense to find somebody, some veteran coach that you know, that they think can put the right emphasis on this, because it you know, as we've seen throughout the season, it's just going to take an embrace of a lot of the little things for this thing to flip from 5-7 to, you know, trying to win 7, 8, 9 games.
Yeah, I think it's about more attitude than anything else with special teams. And I think you have to bring in a guy who's passionate about kick coverage, who's passionate about blocking on returns and finding the right mix of talented guys. Look, you can look, Alabama is an example. And I was amazed in watching the Citrus Bowl, and I've seen Alabama play plenty, but it strikes me every time when I see starters out there,
yeah,
all over the special teams for Alabama, and starters who are high profile guys who are going to play in the NFL. They embrace that. Other programs embrace that. I think you'll find some starters on special teams for Nebraska.
You see some of these programs put like their running backs and stuff out there, like they're real, yeah, like they're real skill guys out there to do it, you know?
Yeah. I think that's something Nebraska has to do. And it's not that Nebraska has been totally absent in that area. There are some top-line players for sure playing on special teams. And I don't think you completely go away from guys like Jeremiah Stovall or Eli Sullivan. There is a place for sure. And Nebraska has a long history of walk-ons who have made their mark, or down the roster scholarship players who have made their mark on special teams. It's a great way to get true freshmen involved in the four games that they're going to play in a redshirt season. But I think you have to mix that in with some serious top-line players, because that's going to add, if it's the right guys, that's going to add the attitude that you need and the attitude that you want to make that dominant. Nebraska, it's not just wrong for Nebraska to be 119th in special teams efficiency in the country. I mean, I would say if Nebraska was 59th, that's still a bad spot. They want to be, as a team that, you know,
they'd love
has,
to be 59th. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They need to be a team that's like 19th or higher with some of the talent issues that Nebraska faces in recruiting. You know, some of the issues that Nebraska faces in the Big Ten that are newer still to this program, special teams has to be an area where they make up the gap.
Not to mention in this conference especially, like, and you saw it over and over the season, the difference in field position can be huge in these conference games.
Yeah, I mean, special teams is all about field position, and then, you know, find a kicker. And we've talked about this. I'm sure it'll come up again, you know, as we go through the off season.
Have we talked about this? Yeah, I guess you're right. We've talked about kickers a little bit.
I'm all for Nebraska scouring the grad transfer market for kickers. It's funny, you know, this morning sitting around reading stories on The Athletic, as I often do when I get my coffee in the morning. I was really intrigued by Bruce Feldman's story today about a couple of grad transfer quarterbacks who are like at the grad transfer quarterback camp in Atlanta with a QB guru, and it seems like this is going to be something that happens in years to come. Like these guys get together and showcase their skills in one way or another for the teams that are in the market for a grad transfer quarterback. Well, if that existed for a kicker right now, that would need to be where Nebraska's eyes were focused. Find somebody who can kick the ball through the end zone, but we're not going
to
dwell.
Send someone out to Australia. Find somebody, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Wherever they grow kickers and punters with strong legs, get there and find a guy, because there is time left still to to make this thing better in 2019. And a lot of that is going to have to do with the coach that Nebraska hires here fairly soon to lead that part of the team. Or maybe it's a guy on the staff. You know, maybe there's somebody on the staff right now who they move into the special teams coordinator role. I don't know. I think we'll probably find out fairly soon. So the second week of the NFL playoffs is upon us, and the bad news is that the season is almost over. The good news, you can still get your fantasy fix with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football. If you've never played, there's even more reason to celebrate. You can play for a $1 million top prize this weekend. It's simple. Just draft your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Plus, all new and existing users can get a deposit bonus of up to $500. That's some extra cash to play with throughout the playoffs. Download the DraftKings app now and use code RUN, that's RUN, for a limited time. Both new and existing users can get a deposit bonus of up to $500 on your next deposit. Remember, that's code RUN, and you can get a deposit bonus of up to $500 only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Deposit bonus requires a 25-time playthrough. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Okay, so since our last episode, Max, you have returned from New Orleans. You were all over the Matt Rhule story at the Sugar Bowl. The Baylor coach is off to the Carolina Panthers, much to the excitement of my 9-year-old son, Zach. I expect we will be seeing a blue and black smock soon in the Sherman household.
Hell yeah.
If you have any recommendations, I am all ears. Any thoughts on Matt Rhule and what his departure means for the Big 12 in college football?
Yeah, first of all, you can buy a black Carolina Panthers smock on yes. NFL.com. I believe it's like $150, so that's a little steep. Oh. but it is black, and it is
especially right after the holidays. Dang.
I know. We'll try and wait till those go on clearance, which has to be any day now. You know, Matt Rhule, one of my favorites to cover in the past few years here. You know, what they accomplished at Baylor was pretty unbelievable. And, you know, I think it made a ton of sense. I know a lot of people were expecting him to go to the Giants. That was kind of the job that Baylor folks always worried about. If it ever opened up, he'd want to go home and coach there. But, you know, he found an owner in David Tepper with the Panthers, who very, very like-minded guy about alignment and how to set up this organization and everything. And I just think it was they made Matt Rhule an offer he couldn't refuse, and that includes – you know, monetarily a 7-year deal, more than $60 million. I mean, that's hard to say no to that. So, you know, it's a bummer for the college football world.
Shame, yeah.
it's a bummer for the college football world. And for the Big 12, I just, you know, in my dealings with him, just really one of the really truly genuine guys in this business, and so smart, and you know, really the real deal in terms of how he set things up there, and you know, really took on an impossible deal there in Waco and got it fixed. So happy for him, and really curious to see if you know, what this does for Christian McCaffrey in our fantasy leagues, huh?
Right, and he won me a regular season championship this year in one of my fantasy leagues. So enough about my fantasy, though. I would say that Baylor is a great example of how you can quickly fix a program that's a mess, and something for people to take some inspiration from in Lincoln, as they anytime they see this as an extremely long-term project, you can look to Baylor. And all circumstances are different,
hey,
but
things never got to 1-11 at Nebraska.
Right. The way it turned at Baylor, and you know, you've got a recruiting base there that's incredible within driving distance of Waco. That obviously helps a lot, but there are some factors in the way that Matt Rhule turned that thing that provide lessons for other schools. So I was recently
by the
in
way,
Texas.
Fun
yeah,
fact there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, his offensive coordinator there, Jeff Nixon, is sending his son, William Nixon, to Lincoln, Nebraska to play for the Huskers.
Yeah, so what's going to happen with Jeff Nixon in this trans? I guess that depends on whether Joey McGuire gets the job in Waco.
Yeah, it's still pretty up in the air on how the Baylor staff's going to shake out. Certainly, Rhule can take guys with him to Carolina if he wants to. So I'm sure all those assistants are kind of scrambling, wondering what's going to happen. And certainly, if Joey McGuire is promoted to head coach, which would be pretty amazing to see, then I think you'd see a lot of those guys stay put. But I actually talked to Jeff Nixon when I was out in New Orleans for the Sugar Bowl, and he was pretty excited to see what his kid can do for Nebraska. Said they kind of sold him on a, you know, kind of DeAnthony Thomas kind of running back receiver role there in that offense. So always good to bring in a coach's kid, and I think he'll be a good fit. And certainly we've talked plenty about how much they need help at receiver.
You can't have too many DeAnthony Thomases running around. I know that's a common comparison on the recruiting trail as Nebraska goes into homes and high schools. Heard some of that, I'm sure, with the recruitment of Wandale Robinson, you know, a guy like Alante Brown in this recruiting class also. The comparison has been drawn. There aren't a lot of DeAnthony Thomases out there, but for sure a good way to excite kids. And the fact that Nebraska has a connection to him with Scott Frost and others who were on that Oregon staff, it doesn't hurt at all. So
yeah, you're right. We probably should call it the Wandale role because we've seen very directly what that looks like.
Yeah.
You
know? So speaking of Texas, I'm recently back from the Lone Star State, spent a couple days in San Antonio last week, got to talk to Keyshawn Green, Nebraska's linebacker signee out of Florida, Turner Corcoran and Blaze Gunnerson, the kids from Kansas and Iowa who were All-American Bowl invitees. Gunnerson did not play in the game because of an injury. I wrote about the importance for Nebraska to land players like Corcoran and Gunnerson from this region around the state of Nebraska. We'll continue to have some more from that trip later on in this offseason. So go check out that story on The Athletic about Turner Corcoran and Blaze Gunnerson and why it's important for Nebraska. This kind of goes without saying, but every year to find the best players in states like Kansas, Iowa, Nebraska, South Dakota, and bring them to Lincoln, as the Huskers did well in the 2020 recruiting class and are showing signs of doing well in the 2021 recruiting class.
Hey, speaking of going without saying, did you go to Torchy's when you were down in Texas?
No, I didn't get any good food down there. Honestly, I hung out around the Riverwalk. I didn't have a rental car. Yeah, I did the Torchy's thing, man, in Colorado this year. I will get back there, but it was a quick trip.
I mean,
Max.
Whataburger, did you have anything good down there?
I didn't have a Whataburger, no. I ate at the River Center Mall, which was attached to my hotel.
Oh,
as boring as that possibly is, I kind of dropped the ball on food. There was a Starbucks in the lobby of the Marriott, and I ate there. I ate at the hotel. I just walked. I took lifts wherever I went to practice. Yeah. It was a wasted trip as far as the food.
I mean, this is probably why you are much healthier than me, and will very much outlive
accurate,
me. But that's okay.
We're going to have an opportunity here next month to get some good food when we're on the road together, and we will talk about that with our audience as it gets closer. Finally,
Alrighty. The
College Football Playoff Championship is set for Monday night at the Superdome. It's the last game, Max, before we plunge into 7 months of darkness. I think we need to address this, make one final prediction for the 2019 season, perhaps even a final wager. I was thinking that whoever loses this is going to be responsible for lining up a guest, the first guest of the offseason for the sellout. So how about that?
Oh, damn it.
If you lose, it's up to you. You go find somebody who can join us, and we will. Yes, for sure. For sure. So do you agree to that?
I agree to that.
Okay.
Wait, but what if we pick the same team? Then what's the point?
Oh, well, we got to pick the score. We got to pick a score and whoever gets closer. So,
okay. Go ahead.
What's going to happen Monday night? Tigers or Tigers?
I'm going LSU.
All right.
If it were in any other building, I think I would talk myself into Clemson. I just can't. LSU's just got an unbelievable advantage by playing that in New Orleans, and you know, I'll take LSU by a score of 38-31.
All right. I'm going Clemson. I said it during the second semifinal on the last Saturday of December that I thought we were watching the national champion play in that game, and whichever one of those teams came out of that semifinal, had it been Ohio State or as it was Clemson, that team was going to win the title. I know that is going against conventional logic, especially with the game in New Orleans, but Clemson is on a huge winning streak. I love Trevor Lawrence. I think Brent Venables is going to come up with some way to at least make LSU work harder to score points. And I'm going to say 35-31, Clemson Tigers over the LSU Tigers. So we have
okay. I'm glad we're on opposite sides of this.
Yeah, we've got stakes here, and we will revisit this at some point in the future, in the near future. That is it for this show. If you are not a subscriber to The Athletic, go to theathletic.com/thesellouts for 40% off. It is worth the $3 a month, Max and I promise. Do not forget to subscribe to this podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening today. Please download the shows. If you've made it this far into the episode, give us a good review. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.